Welcome back.
Welcome back, Steve.
Welcome back, Anthony. And welcome back, everyone out there.
What are we up to next?
Let's talk about managing test cases themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been kind of working around the elephant in the room, which mm-hmm. is the actual place where the work goes, the test cases themselves.
All right.
So let's jump in and talk about managing test cases. As before, I'm going to go ahead and cover part of it, and we'll turn it back over, and Anthony can cover the next part. So I'll cover creating test steps, or creating test cases, and also creating test steps. Then I'll turn it over for defining parameters, managing shared steps, and managing requirements. And I'm sure that I'll jump in at some point in my demo and manage shared steps or something like that, just to steal your thunder because I'm up first.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about creating test cases. First things first, in creating test cases, what are the things we need to know? The first one's fuzzy. Designing test cases that have clear and measurable steps. That's a hard thing to test on. We're going to cover it briefly. We're going to talk and wave hands more about it, however, just to give you the ideas behind it. Then assigning the test case properties, like titles, areas, iterations, state, priority. What? This is all just like work items, again. Very, very easy to do. Adding attachments and links. Here's where we get to some nuance. We get to talk a little nuanced about both attachments and links. And then we'll talk about adding the test case description. This is a field that we go in and we type stuff in. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that, as well as history. Now, adding tested requirements. This is where we start to get to a really important level on the test. And then managing that test case workflow as well. Both of those things are things that we need to know deeply on the test. The other things, if you've used TFS for any amount of time, you probably have already have a pretty decent hold on. Those two are things that we need to talk about if you haven't worked with test cases before. So, that said, our next slide brings us right into a demo of creating test cases. So let's go ahead and flip to the machine. Takes just a moment for that to appear on my machine, and we are in. So here we have our test plan, and we've done some iterations here. We've talked about the properties. I'm now going to move over to the contents of my test plan. And notice I have a couple of things already that are test suites that have been defined. Now these test suites that have been defined are also made up, if we look to the right, of test cases. So test suites contain test cases. And in this case, as a customer, I'd like to be able to remove items from my shopping cart. That's something that we can now test over here by creating test cases. Let me go in, and just to refresh everything, I'm going to add a new requirement to here, and we can run it, and I should be able to add items to my shopping cart. I'm going to add that requirement to the plan because I want to be able to test if I can add items to my shopping cart. Now, this is a requirements-based test suite. This has some implications when we create new test cases underneath it. Let's start with a new test case. In this one, we'll say clicking Add to Cart button twice results in two items in the cart. This is expected behavior. Right? If I go and I pick an airplane, I add the fourth coffee flyer to my flight, to my cart, and I come back and I add another one by clicking the button, I would expect to have two in the cart. Now, I want to get away from the test very briefly to talk about some of this, the theory behind this, or potentially this could fall under the designing test cases that have clear and measurable steps. When I'm in the design mode, I may not have built this functionality yet. So when I'm down here on adding my steps, I'll add steps that are fairly rough, not very specific. And again, we'll get into adding steps in a moment, but for the case of this, I just need to be able to add at least some. So we'll say open application, go to an airplane, click add to cart, browse away, go back to same airplane as above. Click add to cart again. The expected result, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, but the expected result should be that we now have two of that type of airplane in, let me spell airplane right, airplane in the cart. We then go in at that point to close the application. So what we've done is we've created this very, very rough look at what we're trying to do through these steps. We open the application, go, we're not being very specific. And is that a repeatable test? Is that something we could repeat, Anthony?
It certainly is.
It absolutely is. It's not perfect. As long as, Yes, it is repeatable, but I may want to specify which airplane I need to go to. But the fact is, I don't necessarily know yet because we may not have built that functionality. So when I first am designing this, they may be very, very rough. Certainly not automatable at that point. Okay, so this is still in the design phase, and I want to stress we have design phase is where we are. Once we save it, we then can go over and have an additional phase. We could move it to ready. So test cases have three states: design state, ready state, and closed state. Ready is where they are when you're running them, and you're running them repeatedly. Closed is what you flip them to if you're done. You're just kind of done running those. A couple other things that we have here, and we need to specify all these things up here at the top. You have the classification, Tailspin Toys, you have the iteration, you have who is assigned this test case to build it, not necessarily to run it, but to build it. The state itself, let's put that back into potentially the ready state. We have a priority, this is not a stack rank, this is just a priority, and an automation status. Now I've got only two options for my automation status, not automated or planned. In order to get it to the automated state, there's some shucking and jiving I need to do. And that's actually one of the things that you need to know about for this test. So let's go ahead and leave it as not automated and save this particular test case. So test case 66, we now have a test case that we can execute. One more thing. If I go down here and I want to open the application, let's say I know a little bit more about what it is. So I might say something like this. Browse to http://www.tailspintoys.com. At this point, how does someone know that they've actually gotten to the correct website? One way we can do that is by adding a link. So in this test step, to the step itself, we can add an attachment. And I'm going to add an attachment to this test step, and I'm going to browse to this Tailspin Toys home image. And the comment might be, the home page should look like this. Click OK. And at that point, I now have an attachment on that particular test step. So you can use this to help testers that are running it. Like if I pass this off to Anthony, he may have never seen Tailspin Toys before, and he may not know that he's at the right website when he goes to see it. So I want to be able to give him that snapshot, that image. You can also add attachments, not just to the test case step, but to the test case itself. Now, I may, notice this, the test step attachment, it's actually just an attachment to the test case. But it's got this little highlight here that allows us to parse it while we're running the test. But we can also add new attachments that are across the whole thing. And I have one called work breakdown structure that defines this. I'm just simply going to attach the work breakdown structure to the entire test case itself. So you'll see that work breakdown structure is attached to everything. That case, we can save it. We have the date attached. Everything is there, and the test case is ready at this point in time to execute. Now, we haven't gotten to the actual execution of the test case, but I think it's important that we do run this particular one, if ever so briefly, so that we can see what that looks like when we have our test case. So we're going to go ahead and start our test. And from within here, I have one attachment up here. And if I look at this, here is my attachment, my work breakdown structure, XLSX. I can open that up from here. This is attached at that level. And if I go down here, notice I have tailspintoyshome.png that I can open, and I can see what that will look like when I go to the first test case. So that's just a show of how those attachments show up, and you can visualize them when you're actually working with them. So enough about that. Something that is important to know, make sure you know how to attach things to both test cases and individual test steps. Now, this automation status. As a customer, I should be able to remove items from my shopping cart. And in this particular one here, let me open that test case. We have one that says customers can remove items from the shopping cart by clicking the X icon. Notice it's not automated. I'm going to change that to planned for automation. That's what I, as a tester, do, and save and close that. That's work item 40. Now, as a developer, I'll be the one who actually automates it. So you do need to understand, from a tester perspective, that particular workflow. So let me go in and look a little bit at that automation status itself. So it's automated, no, but it's planned for automation. I'm going to go into my particular browser here, and I'm going to open up work item 40. That work item 40, I notice it's planned for automation. You know, while I'm at it, one of the demos I'm going to have to give later is how to create work item queries. So I'm going to actually jump in and create a work item query that will find these for me without me having to know that it's particularly work item 40.
Excellent.
So I'm going to take slight slot side detour to figure out how I can find these as a developer. So I'm going to go instead, I'll drop over here to work items and create a new query. The team project is the current team project. That's what at project does. The work item type is going to be test case. The state can be any, and the automation status. I'm going to just type it so we can see it all. Automation status is going to be equal to planned. If I now run it, aha, there's all the test cases that are planned for automation. Good. So I'm not going to show how to create an automated UI. This query, however, let me save it as test cases to automate. We'll save it. And back at now inside of my work items, I can open up this test case. Notice that it's planned for automation. And if I want to automate it, I need to go over to the Associated Automation tab and link it to an automated test. Now, I've got one that I've already built called Coded UI Test Method 1. Boom. I'm going to click OK. Here it is. And let's save that work item. Now, I know this sounds like a lot of work. This is not something you need to know specifically for this exam, except that you need to know the workflow. Don't need to know how to create the automated test, but you do need to know that it's created by associating the automation. It changes the automation status to automated. That's the thing you need to remember. So now we can go back to my test case here. It says no on automated. We can refresh it. You'll notice it says, yes, it is now automated. At this point, I can now run my automated tests from MTM. Now, when you run an automated test, I don't want to steal your thunder, Anthony. You're going to be running some of these automated tests or running some of the manual tests. But there's no place where you'll be running an automated one. So I want to show how that gets set up. We go to test plan, into properties. Notice I have my test settings. I'm going to catch just a little bit of data. And my test environment is that Tailspin Toys web environment that we set up before. I also have a build agent, everything I need to run this test. And now, at this point, when I go to test, I can right-click this test and say, run. At this point, notice what it says up here. It's waiting for the test controller, and it's going to run this in an automated fashion. Now, I'm not touching the screen here. It's opening it up, and it's running this automated test. My apologies. I wish it wouldn't have popped that up. There's nothing I can do about it because I only have one machine as this demo box. Normally, that run is occurring clear out on somebody else's machine. Probably not on somebody else's. Probably a headless machine somewhere, some VM somewhere. But notice I can hit refresh here and see what happened. It's completed, it passed, and I know that it's done. So once tests are automated, if I still need to validate them to get that warm fuzzy, I'm going to right-click and just run it. Right from here, it'll go out to whatever virtual environment. It'll run it and it'll just give me the news. Did it pass? Did it fail? And in fact, at that particular moment, I can go in here to the attachments and see I've got a run file. I've got my system information file, which I captured, and the test itself that I ran here. I've got the results. So a quick way that we can run those automated tests, and that is how you get your test case to be automated. So in here, customer can remove items from the chart. If I open up from the shopping cart, that's how I got the automation status to automated. Design, I think we're ready for this. Let's click ready and let's click save. There's an interesting thing about design to ready in that it doesn't matter at all. You can run a test if it's in the design phase, you can run it if it's in the ready phase, and it'll capture the data just like anything else. So I'd like you to choose the best answer in the poll. If we could, I'm going to take a quick break while you answer a question. We've got a poll out there. Anthony, are you answering that question?
I've already answered that question.
Oh, okay. Are we good? No, we're just answering that poll question. Just making sure everyone has enough time, because it takes a while to answer the poll questions at times. I'll go ahead and leave it at that, and we'll go back and we'll verify that after the break and come back and maybe feedback some information on that poll.
But that pause was great. Did you see his face? We should do this again later today.
We should.
We'll just go silent and watch the support folk just die at the back of the room.
You know what? I want to come back to this with test runs because there's another state. It's not a state so much for a test,
okay,
but there's an area that sometimes there's a test case that makes no sense to run. For instance, I have to enter a strong password. And the new account creation here, let's stretch this out, should fail when a weak password is used. I may not have passwords set up yet. So what I want to do here is I can run it or right-click it, and I can block that test. And what that does, it means that it won't run that test in an automated fashion or in a manual fashion. It just blocks it from being run. So that's one more thing that you should know about while you're going through running tests. Okay, now, you know what? I might stick right with the... Nah, we better be official. Let's jump over back to my slide deck, and we're going to take a quick look at creating test steps. So we're going to pop over now and talk about creating test steps. Now, test cases are the large container for those test steps. The test steps themselves are what's next. So adding and removing parameters to and from expected results. Anthony's looking up, kind of freaking out, because he's got a whole section on parameters.
Now it's my turn to freak out.
Turn to freak out, right? Because there's a duplicate here. We've got in both of these, when you're looking at your preparation guide, you'll find that creating test parameters appears on two parts of the guide itself. So, you do what you have to do, right? So I'm going to cover very briefly, and I'll hand it over to you to do the official work to teach people how to use that. We'll talk about adding and removing data from those test steps, creating repeatable actions for using fast forward for manual testing. What on earth does that mean? In fact, when we're running, Will you be demonstrating fast forward for manual testing later on in test execution?
I will be, but either of us can do it, Steve.
I'm going to talk about it here because I don't want to jump ahead and steal more of your thunder. I feel like since I've been up getting to do some of the first parts, I steal a little bit of that. We'll talk about expected results, what those should be, and adding test steps attachments, which we already covered because, like parameters, it was also noted up above. Mm-hmm. Made sense to talk about it there as well. So let's jump into, you guessed it, a demo. Pulling back over into the virtual machine again, and we'll talk about those test steps that we created. Now, the first thing we did when we created those test steps, or the test case, let me go to the test case we created. Whoops, that's my test result. And to fire up MTM, you push the start menu and you type MTM. I closed the wrong thing there. Here we are again, clicking Add to Cart. Let's go ahead and open up that test case. That's going to give us all of these actions. Now, when we started off with this very loose thing. Browse to an airplane, browse to this page, go to an airplane. We might want to make these more and more specific. The advantage of having them specific is that they're repeatable, and when they're automated, it makes more sense. So let's here, instead of go to an airplane, we'll say go to the fourth coffee flyer, and we'll say click the add to cart button, and then here we might say click on the Tailspin Toys logo. And here we then say go back to the fourth coffee flyer and click add to cart again. Two of fourth coffee flyer is added to the cart, or are added to the cart. Oh my goodness. One other thing I might want to do in here is let's go in and insert a step. And this step we're going to insert will say empty the cart so that make sure we can repeat this test again and again and again. Now I want to note a couple of things that I've just done. I haven't added any parameters yet. I haven't done anything there. But what I have done is I've attached this here by clicking the attach button. Once I'm in a test step, I can click it here and attach it. I also have many actions and very few expected results. This is the first problem that beginners have when they start to use this. If you start putting things like this, browse to Tailspin Toys, expected result, Tailspin Toys opens, go to fourth coffee flyer, at fourth coffee flyer, and you start typing in all of these things, notice that every time you have something in the expected results, it puts a little check mark over here in this steps area. What that means is that you have to manually pass or fail that particular step. And that, my friends, is a waste of time. If you're a developer, I mean a tester, and you go and you browse to Tailspin Toys, and it gives you a 404 error, chances are you don't need to be told to file a bug. Instead, you put your expected results where they count, which is the validation step that really proves out that particular test case. In our case, it's the clicking Add to Cart button twice that we care about. I might be tempted to put in click the Add to Cart button, say one item is in the cart. That might call it. You might be okay there. But in the most case, leave those out. Keep them nice and clean. One of the things I need to do is add parameters. I don't think I'm going to keep the parameters out. That's a whole section that you have. I don't want to steal any of that thunder if that's all right with you.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So given that, we are all set up. We're ready to run this test. I'm going to save it and close it. And I want to do one thing. I promised to show the test actions, making sure that they work for fast forward for manual tests. And to do that, it needs to have nice, clean sets of steps with well-defined areas here with the checkboxes. I'm not going to... Should I run it? I've got 4 minutes. What do you say?
Oh, go for it.
All right, I'm going to run it. We're going to get to C1 being run then. Let's go to the test session. Right-click, run this test. When we run it, it pops us up, and we can create an action recording. Very important to create an action recording if we're going to use fast forward for manual testing. Start the test, and it says browse to Tailspin Toys. I'm going to open up IE. I'm going to go to http://tailspintoys.com. That passed. I go to the Fourth Coffee Flyer, model airplanes, Fourth Coffee Flyer. That passed. Notice I don't have to actually click to pass any of these steps. Not important at all. Click the Add to Cart button, but I'm going to go ahead and do that. Click the logo, did that. Go back to Fourth Coffee Flyer, Fourth Coffee Flyer. Click, not quite yet. Click Add to Cart, and this time we get the expected value of two items in the... There's only one. Shame on it. Shame, shame. It's a failed step. Only one in cart. Quick, grab a quick screenshot of that, just so that we have it. And off we go. I'm not going to file a bug because that's part of the whole bug workflow that's coming up later. We have only one item in the cart. And at that point, let's empty the cart and close the application. And at that point, I'm going to end the test, collects it, and we're ready, and we're done. We can save and close it. Now, here's the deal. There might be a lot of data that I need to fill in here and a lot of steps and typing and stuff that I need to do. So what I really want to do is next time I run it, don't overwrite the existing action recording. Simply click Start Test, highlight everything down to potentially the first five steps. Let me show you what that looks like. See, it's kind of a darker yellow as I've highlighted it here. I want to run all five of those steps, and then I simply click the play button. At this point, my hands are off. It's clicking, everything's running, and it does it all by itself, and it gets it down to the point where I'm ready to click Add to Cart again. So I'm here. We go to click Add to Cart again, and it still is failing at that point. Or we can say it's passing. Who knows? Maybe it's by design. Empty the cart, close the application. By the way, I could highlight them and continue running if I want. But why would I highlight and use that fast forward for manual testing? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is if you've got things that you have to repeatedly come back to again and again and again and enter a bunch of data, you might make a mistake in simply just entering the data. In reality, you want to just play through all of that. Anytime you can take the human element out, you can save yourself a little bit of time. So we've gone ahead and we've shown you that fast forward for automation testing. Now let's go back and take a quick look at some of the tips and tricks for this exam in particular. It'll pop up in just a moment. Okay, our exam best bets. Creating test cases and test steps. Know the attachment stuff. Be sure to attach some to attach steps. You know how to do that. Practice using fast forward for manual tests a little bit. And then simply create a couple test cases. This part of the exam, it's pretty basic. And once we get over to what Anthony's going to show you, that's where the more deep, meaty stuff is. Doing things like shared steps, dealing with those. Managing parameters and dealing with those. So I think that that's where you're going to want to spend the vast majority of your effort. What I just showed you is the very, very simple stuff. Anthony, I think that wraps it.
I think it does. I think you're feeling a little hungry.
I am, a little peckish.
Fantastic. Well, for those watching live, we're going to take a 60-minute lunch hour.
Sounds good.
And we'll be back after that.
Good. We'll see you then.